Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we're going to welcome back photographer Ian Elsichin. He does fitness photography. He does photography of entertainment work. He does a photography of airplanes for the Palm Springs Air Museum. He's one of the most diverse people. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'll remind you that it's actually Ian instead of Ian, but everybody keeps saying
it. Oh, get it again!
Truly, I don't mind. It's either or either. I'm fine.
I'm sorry.
No, forever forgiven. Don't worry about it. Thank you. How are you today?
I'm okay. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you.
I'm mortified that I messed up your name.
This too shall pass. I have family members that still call me Ian, so it's fine.
You were on our show before as part of a panel, so this time we're going to basically just focus on your career. You want to tell how you started as a photographer? What gave you the itch?
Oh my gosh. Well, I guess I started as a small boy. I think, you know, I probably first picked up a camera when I was 9 years old. Back in ancient times when my parents had a Kodak Brownie Hawkeye, and I used to, you know, shoot photos of, you know, my sister at Disneyland. So I always say I've been shooting beautiful girls in exotic places for many decades. Somewhere along the line, I moved to shooting photographs of my model trains down on the, you know, on the level of the little trains themselves. So it looked like they were real. So I thought that was fun. Moved into shooting. I became interested in astronomy, moved into taking photographs through my telescopes of the planets. And I think that's where I first really learned photography. As more than just pushing a button. Then along the way, like everyone else in life, I had different careers and different phases of life and so forth. And at some point in time, I was looking for another change. Woke up one morning and essentially said, I guess I'll be a photographer. And that's how it happened. Made up a business card. The next day I was.
It's just I can just picture the little light bulb. I guess I'll be a photographer.
Yeah. There's somewhat truth to that. I thought about writing. I had the thought about doing an investigative reporting type books and so forth. But a picture is worth a thousand words, and I realized I was a little impatient and had always enjoyed shooting photographs. I loved seeing photographs in museums of the great photographers. I loved, looking through the photography and fashion magazines to all kinds of magazines. So I thought to myself, well, why don't I do this? And so I did.
How did you get into fitness photography?
I had also going back to when I was a small boy. My father first took me to a gym again, probably when I was 9 or 10 years old. And when I was 12 or 13, I started lifting weights in school. Back then, it was a new curriculum called weightlifting. Nobody had ever heard of such a thing in school. And so I kind of took a shine to that and always enjoyed it. And then along the way, I had also read and looked through all of the many bodybuilding and fitness magazines, sort of Muscle and Fitness and all the magazines of that genre. And then as I moved into photography as an occupation, I kept looking through the magazines, and I had still been going to the gym and lifting. And I thought to myself, why don't I do this? It seems obvious. So I set on a course to find a way to get into that industry, and that's how that happened.
Interesting. Is there a photo shoot amazing that you never expected to get doing the fitness work that you got that just knocked your socks off?
I wouldn't say it's necessarily a photo shoot, more so than a client that I ended up getting, which really pushed me to the forefront of everything. Because for that client, and I'll say who it was bodybuilding.com, which is now a, you know, became a behemoth in the bodybuilding and fitness industry. You know, early on in their go-go growth years in the early 2000s, hired me to do all of their advertising, their feature shooting, their and shoot 25 or 30 bodybuilding shows around the country. So not necessarily a singular photo shoot, but being having gained them as a client, being responsible for all of that, was something that really was a wonderful surprise and a wonderful gift.
Was there, did you meet any people that were in that world that not only were not only somebody that you liked, but just became really good friends unexpectedly that were in the bodybuilding world that you were taking pictures of?
Well, it was interesting that, well, yes, I can honestly say that the people I have photographed along the way, the majority of which I can still count to this day as friends. And some of them are very close friends. I spoke to just one of them yesterday. She and I have been very close over the years since I first photographed her. So, yeah, and it's interesting that a lot of the people that I admired along the way before I got into the world of bodybuilding and fitness photography ultimately ended up becoming my friends. And they were the photographers that I had admired and seen their work in the magazines, as well as a lot of the people who we would refer to as from the classic golden age of bodybuilding, the age when Arnold Schwarzenegger came along. And a lot of those guys who I used to see at Muscle Beach when I was a kid, have now, along the way, have now become my friends. So that's very exciting.
That's really cool. That's really cool. Yeah, I remember when I was little and my parents took us to Venice Beach and we would see all the guys lifting, and my brother would say he would never have thought that later he would be able to do it himself, but we were like, my brother said, "How do they do that?" And my father looks at him and he says, "A lot of practice."
You know, and I used to do the same thing. I'd walk along the boardwalk and I'd see those guys, and those people eventually and today have become my friends. Sadly, a few of them have passed on, but
yeah.
But that's kind of one of the things in my life that has come full circle, is having made friends with these people.
That's really cool.
It is.
I'm going to take it in a little different direction. I know you've done a lot of entertainment work as well. Do you have any stories about entertainment, motion picture industry, TV, anything that you'd like to talk about that kind of stuff?
Sure. One of them, and I had sent you some of those photos which you used on social media, was from the movie I did a couple, three years ago, I don't remember, a movie called Six Dance Lessons in 6 Weeks, which was filmed entirely in Budapest, which actually takes place in, the story takes place in Florida. And I remember getting the call about shooting stills on that, and I was originally asked to do 3 weeks in Budapest on the movie. Honestly, wasn't very excited about being away for 3 weeks in Budapest.
Mm-hmm.
But I was told who was in it, and that was Jenna Rollins and Rita Moreno, very principally amongst who I was told. And you know, those pretty big stars, and Rita Moreno especially is like somewhat of a hero to me, going back to West Side Story, which is a very important film in my life personally. You know, that was an opportunity that after I slept on it overnight, I realized that I was not going to have, you know, have again in my life, would be to photograph Rita Moreno and Jenna Rollins. Mm-hmm. So the next day I changed my mind, agreed to it, and then I was off to Budapest. And as it turned out, at the end of 3 weeks, they asked me to stay on, and I was there for 7 weeks for the entire production. So that was pretty exciting for me, very exciting for me.
I always think it's so funny that Budapest is Florida. It's just hilarious to me.
Well, I know there's issues. I mean, we certainly not a big secret. I mean, we shot beach scenes inside a studio by trucking in huge quantities of sand and creating beaches. So there were things to overcome, but it was readily done. I mean, somebody once asked me on a photo shoot something really odd. I don't remember what it was specifically, and they said, "Well, can you do that?" And I said, "Well, you know, we're in Southern California. This is Hollywood. If you want spaceships landing on the 405 freeway at 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, we can do it. It's just a matter of spending mm-hmm. the money."
I know. My brother and I were watching, I forgot the name of the series, but he was talking about spaghetti westerns, and I was like, yeah. You know, he was actually in New Mexico, but he was talking about where they were actually shot, which was Spain and Italy. I just get a kick out of the fact that Hollywood is always, pretty much always done this. You know, they say you're in New York, but you're actually in Toronto, you know.
Well, truly, and you're taking it back into the world of photography and magazine features and advertising, there are magazines that always do these, you know, fabulous swimsuit shoots with beautiful girls on beaches around the world. And you'll see this beautiful girl in this beautiful bikini out on this, you know, white sand beach, and they will have spent, you know, an extraordinary amount of money to go to some beach in some far off land and spend extraordinary amounts of time when it really looks like it could just as well have been shot in Venice.
Mm-hmm. Or Malibu.
You know, or Malibu or Huntington Beach.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's an ocean, there's sand, and that's it.
Yeah.
And sun. Sun
I
is
always,
pretty much.
I always thought it was hilarious, but it's always freezing wherever they are too.
Yes, absolutely. It's important to freeze the model.
Because I remember Tyra Banks talking about, you know, she had almost had frozen limbs from one of her photo shoots because it was so cold in the water that she was in for like hours.
Yes.
It's like, yes. And she goes, "But we could have been in L.A. and I wouldn't have had that."
There's much to be said for that.
And it would have cost so much.
Yes,
the cost of the shoot there.
Yeah, the cost of the shoot is directly proportionate to the amount of money available.
Yep. I always find that hilarious. I know, I know it's all part of their advertising, you know, that they want it
mm-hmm, sure.
to be exotic, you know. I think that's what it
certainly.
Is.
Certainly. 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 But
I always look
at things from the other side of things, because I'm here in Palm Springs, and people say, you know, where do you go to do your shoots? And I always remind people that other people in other places are trying to figure out how they can afford to come here to shoot,
mm-hmm.
and I'm already here. So that's something I always recall.
Yeah, yeah. Just like I live in San Diego. How many people want to take a vacation here? Just the way
Helmut
things
Newton
are.
Used to, yeah, the famous photographer Helmut Newton used to always say he enjoyed shooting most within 1 mile of where he lived. Now, admittedly, he lived in Monaco, so that wasn't too bad to begin with. But the concept is still kind of the same.
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
It's so funny because I told you privately, Jenna Rollins was one of the first people that I actually did a movie with.
Yes.
I was a young actress. I was an extra. They call it atmosphere now. And it was at UCLA and a hospital. Those were the two. I think it was UCLA Medical Center where they
yes.
shot the movie. And it was the hospital part of the shoot. And she was sitting outside her dressing room. There was like a little stair thing, and she had a chair, and she was doing needlepoint. And I walked over to her, and I said, told her how much I was enjoying working on my first film with her. And she was really sweet and supportive. And then I asked for an autograph, and she said, sure. And she went in, and she got a picture, and she signed the autograph. And I was so excited. I said, thank you. And she gave me a peck on the cheek, and I was even happier. I went back to my fellow extras to show what my bounty was, and they told me, you should have done that. That's very unprofessional. You're not never supposed to ask for an autograph. I was 19. I was like, oh. But she was so lovely. You would never have known I wasn't supposed to do that.
I can say, having spent that 7 weeks with her, she's the sweetest, nicest person. She could not be more professional. And she was on set almost every day of shooting. So she worked really hard. An incredible
mm-hmm.
woman. I enjoyed her immensely. We got along very well, I must say.
She was so sweet.
She is. That's the way she is. The other person that was quite incredible to have met on that movie was the cinematographer, Vilmos Zsigmond, who said to have perhaps been the finest cinematographer who has ever lived. And he has since passed away. So I was very honored to have worked on his motion picture. He won an award for Close Encounters, an Academy Award for Close Encounters. He did The Deer Hunter. He did Witches of Eastwick. Sugarland Express. It would be hard to remember everything that he has done. Incredible guy. He paid me what I thought was the funniest and best compliment ever. The movie had, it was our last day of shooting, and it was well towards midnight or 1 a.m. And it was the last cut, and the champagne came out. Everybody was exhausted, of course. And somewhere as to walking around, he came up to me and he said, you can work on my sets anytime, you never got in the way. That was his total compliment. I don't think he'd ever seen a photograph I had shot, but he was just happy I never got in the way.
Oh, wow. How sweet.
Yeah,
That's actually really sweet.
It was very fun.
Aww.
It was very fun.
No, I can understand that. Have you ever been to a wedding where the photographers were annoying?
Yes.
All you heard was the click, 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 and it's like, and they're like, and the flashes, and you can't really see the people because the flashes are coming across you. And then
it could be a wedding.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, it could be a wedding, it could be a concert, it could be anything. It just, you just have to accept it. That's why I'm happy I'm not, one of the reasons I'm happy I'm not shooting weddings. You know, I did a few in my time.
I've been to weddings where the photographer was completely discreet, and you could hear the clicks, but it wasn't a big deal, and you could hear what the people
yes.
were saying. I
yes.
think it really depended on the person.
Surely. I won't weigh in one way or the other about wedding photographers, and while I have my opinions, I stay out of the industry for the most part. I'm not going to render an opinion there. I don't do weddings.
Okay, I don't blame you.
Yes,
because when he said that to you, that's what popped into my head.
Well, we did have an incident on the set where one of the producers of the main production company had hired a couple of young guys to shoot some behind the scenes video kind of things. And one night, it was a very big set in a ballroom with a few hundred people around. And these guys, during the shoot, during a take, actually walked right into the scene. And it's like, what are you thinking? They immediately got thrown out. He almost threw them right out. He went berserk.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, you know, you gotta, I guess that's the business sense of being a professional and just being an amateur trying to do something is you got to have a little bit of a, have to have a little sense about you and do a better job.
Something so expensive as the ballroom.
True.
That, well, the, yeah, oh my gosh.
And, you know, it's one thing to have talent. It's another thing to be reliable. And, you know, when push comes to shove, somebody, you know, the person that hires you is going to want some talent, but they want reliability because oftentimes there's a lot of money at stake, whether it be an ad shoot or a movie or whatever the case may be.
So do you have a Rita Moreno story too? I love her. I love both of them.
She was wonderful. And I was so excited to meet her the very first day I met her. She came in through the into the cafeteria at the studio. She walked in the back to see her trailer, and then she came back in and kind of separated herself from her entourage of managers or whoever they were. And the cafeteria was entirely jammed. There was only one seat open, and it was right on at our table. And she came right over and sat down, and I don't remember if even she introduced herself, said, "Hi, my name's Rita." But she started talking with us and everything, and it was just wonderful. She could not have been more personable and fun and interesting and just down to earth. And it was just, I was just breathtaking to just be sitting there with her.
Gosh, that would have been wonderful. Oh, yeah, I have a lot of love for her. So that's great.
Yes.
Don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to change direction again. I know when we were doing the panel, you were very excited about going to the Reno Air Show, and I know you were at the Reno Air Show, and you shared some great photographs with me. Did you want to talk about that a little bit? Oh, you're welcome.
Well, I must say that the excitement that I had ahead of time, and I certainly don't use the word excitement for myself very often, the excitement that I had ahead of time for myself came true. It was great fun. I enjoyed it immensely. This is the Reno Air Races, or as it's really known, the National Championship Air Races at Reno, which is the premier prestigious race of the what is the fastest motorsport of in the world, motorsport racing in the world. And so I had always heard about it and always seen video and photos and so forth, and had always thought, God, that would be fun to go to. And so I got to do that, and it was incredible. I was with the Palm Springs Air Museum, and we had we brought up our P-51 Mustang Bunny, which is it's called Bunny because it's dedicated to the Tuskegee Airmen, and specifically to Lieutenant Colonel Bob Friend. One of the most renowned and decorated Tuskegee Airmen in World War II. And so we had actually entered that in the race. So it was very exciting to be not only the photographer and whatever else I was doing, public relations and all that type stuff, but also to be part of the crew. So it was great. It was 10 days. And I was exhausted by the time I got back, that's for sure.
Sounds really exciting. I've been to a couple air shows, and they're always really fun. But I always wondered what it would be like on the other side. Have you ever been to one of those before, or was it different this time?
Well, yeah, because an air show is different than an air race. This is like the Indy 500 of air racing. You have aircraft flying at anywhere from 150 to 500 miles per hour, going around an 8-mile course that's designated by pylons 50 feet in the air, racing each other. So this is actually racing. So it's much different than an air show where they're just flying along and doing stunts and so forth. So very exciting, and so much going on. I was lucky in that I flew up to Reno in the back seat of our P-51, which is always, you know, a little boy's dream. So I was first in with the pilot, Tom Nightingale, great guy. We've flown before. So I was first in on that Friday morning, which was the 8th, and then was part and parcel of everything, and then flew back with him in the same plane on the 18th. And came back to Palm Springs and then jumped in another plane, actually, and flew to Chino, which is where we had departed from, and that's where my car was. So, yeah, it's a little bit different than an air show. And during the course of it, there's a huge audience and lots going on. There's practice flying, there's eliminations, there's qualifying, there's, all kinds of racing that goes on through the main race, which was Sunday the 17th.
Very cool. And did you win?
We went up in what's called the Bronze Class of Unlimited, which is essentially planes that are flying around that are not specially modified or anything. We won that class. We came in first.
Cool.
But what that does, that moves you up. And we ended up in the silver class, which put us in with some aircraft that were prepared for racing. So although we ended up in the silver class, which was, really special. The only thing up from that is the gold category. We did play sixth, of six. So, but it was still very exciting. Could not have been better.
Cool. Hey, you placed first in your own category, so that's great.
Well, then we moved up to six. But we were also there to honor the Tuskegee Airmen of World War II, and we had Lieutenant Colonel Bob Friend with us, who's 97 years old, and some of the other Tuskegee Airmen. And much of the dedication of the races was to these men and to the colonel. He was front and center for the national anthem played at the beginning of the finals on Sunday afternoon as our plane, Bunny, our P-51, did a flyby down the runway to open the show, to open the races. So it was very exciting. We were also, my photograph and was on the front page of the Reno Gazette that week, big 3/4 page photo, most of the front page of the paper, of Bunny, of the P-51. And then the following morning after the races, we were the top of the news for all of the morning news segments the following morning. So it was really about our P-51 Bunny, the Tuskegee Airmen, Lieutenant Colonel Bob Friend, and the Palm Springs Air Museum. So it was very exciting.
There aren't many of the guys from that unit left, are there?
No. I mean, Bob is, the colonel is 97 years old. They're all of that age. So they are lost on a regular basis now. I'm getting older. It's a cycle of life. Yeah, so we're very honored to have had him with us this year.
The picture you took of him is very touching. It's gorgeous
and touching. Thank you. That was one of those special moments that I knew at that very moment. We were in front of the grandstands. Everybody was standing for the national anthem. This is the big race. There's, I don't know how many people there, 15, 20, 30, 40,000 people or whatever. And it's a moment of, silence. The national anthem is playing, and he, of course, saluted and stood there. He's a rock solid guy. And I was standing right there next to him, and I just a few feet away, and I saw him, and I immediately turned with my camera and shot a few photos very silently, and then put my camera down. Then I turned after the national anthem to Fred Bell, the director of the Air Museum, and I said, "Fred, I just shot the photo of a lifetime," and that was it. That was it. Yeah, so
yeah, it's a beautiful
very
photo.
Historical. Thank you. Well, it's very there's a lot of historical significance, and this was a man who was one of the very famous Tuskegee Airmen of World War II, and now this is him at 97 saluting in front of that tremendous event. So it was very significant, I think. I was very lucky.
That's great. I hate to be the keeper of time, but
that's your
we're
job.
Out of time. Yes.
Wonderful.
Do you have any publications, events, anything coming up that you want the listeners to know about so they can, or a website that you could give so they can touch base with you?
Well, I think if everybody just looks, if you want to touch base with me, find me on Facebook. I have a huge Facebook presence. My first name is Ian, I-A-N. Last name Citren, S-I-T-R-E-N. You can also look at the Facebook page for the Palm Springs Air Museum because I do social media management for them. I do social media management for, which is great because I get to show off my content for the Palm Springs Fitness Center. Kind of an offshoot of everything I do. So, so I think mostly on Facebook, more so than sending you to my website or anything like that. Facebook is a little bit more dynamic and changes daily.
Cool. Thank you so much for coming on. I so appreciate it and coming back. And I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
And thank you for chatting with Sherry.